Off the Ball. GAA.
James McCarthy, Michael Simon, Stephen Cluxton back in.
Those lads are back training and have been for a few weeks now, so I'd expect them to see them in the mix very soon.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #thetoughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. April the 1st, Monday evening, we're recording after a weekend of Allianz National League football finals. We had Division 4 where Laois won, Division 3 where Westmead won, Division 2 where Donegal beat Armagh, and then yesterday evening, we were all served a treat as Derry and Dublin went toe to toe. James, myself, and Paddy were in Croke Park.
You were. No invite for me, of course.
Paddy, what a game.
It was. We were chatting. It was a spectacular game. And Jesus Christ, we needed it after the Division 2 final. I thought it was going to be a very, very long day in there. But it was. It was the two best teams all spring. And they showed why. They showed why. Right from start to finish, Derry started really well first quarter. And they kind of kept the foot to the floor for the entire game. Dublin hit them with a couple of sucker punches. Colly Baskell's goal off kind of a drop short point attempt kind of gives Dublin a bit of momentum and they start settling into the game. But Derry, the two goals after half time as well, they started both halves really, really well. And I think, look, it was a game that had everything. The football quality was very, very high for this time of year. The intensity, that there was a bit of needling. As you can see, both these teams know if they're going to ultimately get to where they want to get to at the end of the season, they're going to have to take each other out. There was no doubt about it. Dublin, you can see the needle in Dublin because they see Derry are a threat. That's the reality of it, and they are. And that's a credit to what Derry have done so far this season under Mickey Hart. And Derry, we knew the approach they were going to come with. They had to come and front up against Dublin. The game last month at Celtic Park was a bit of a non-event. So we knew Derry were going to come all guns blazing, and they did. And to be fair to them, I thought they deserved to win the game yesterday. They easily could have lost it at times, and that's a credit to Dublin's resilience. But I think on the balance of the 90 minutes played, Derry probably were the better team. They left a lot of chances out behind them as well. A couple of goal chances, particularly in that second half. But I said it yesterday to you, T. I think both coaches will be very happy how this spring has gone for them. You know, the reality, Dublin, when you're in a final, you absolutely want to win it. There's no two ways about it. And they will be pissed off at losing that game and the manner of losing on penalties. But you sat down in January. None of us had Dublin tipped to win the National League. I think Desi Farrell has got a lot out of this. And also, just if you put yourself in their shoes, I remember we lost the league final to you guys, Jimmy. Was it 17? Yeah, Dino misses a free at the end. It was a big win for you guys. And that was ultimately ourselves and Kerry and then Mayo were the three teams. And that was a kick in the hole for us. And it was like, you know, without even realising that you're maybe not hitting all the markers, hitting all the boxes, whereas that defeat, it's a bitter one to take for us at the time. I'm absolutely certain.
Press pause on that, Paddy, because I want to come back to the context and I have a couple of questions on it. But let us get excited about Derry, because they arrived to Croke Park yesterday. James, what impressed you most about Derry yesterday?
Everything. Their attack. They got 2:15 in the 70 minutes. Like 2:15, you have to go at the Dubs and score and just go for it. If you're hanging on against the Dubs, you are not getting over the line. So the fact they were so front foot was so impressive. And they have the quality up front now. Do you know, they have Lachlan Murray, looks like a serious player.
It's a big addition, isn't he?
Massive addition. But as well, do you know what? There's two more gears in there. He's going to be an excellent player. He can give way more throughout the summer. Same with McGuigan. He didn't have his best day. Do you know, he's still very dangerous. But like, if you're looking at what Derry can improve, I still think there's gears in them. I still think they'll be better. But the fact that they showed that it meant a lot to them. They went to front foot, went at the Dubs to win it, and did eventually. And you could even see, you know, when they won on penalties, they didn't know. I'd say they wanted to nearly run over to Oran Lynch and celebrate like they're after winning Champions League, but they had to be reserved. You know, they had to say, no, this isn't the biggest prize, which was, I think, a good sign as well that they're there for They're there for the long haul. They're there for the rest of the summer.
You're right. There were two things about there you'd impressed. Kickouts. They pushed up, and we have bet this drum a lot of times in this football, on this pod over the years. They were aggressive for every single kickout on Dublin, and they got the joy out of it. They got a lot of steals. They were very good in their own kickout. They knew it was very shades of very famous game, Dublin Donegal 10 years ago. Dublin were pushing right up, and that's the right thing to do from them, and they aren't going to change that. They probably need to tweak some bits of it because they were exposed. The two goals, the penalty comes from a long kickout over the top. I just think their organisation, that they were, there was times where players, they were pushing up, which is the right thing to do, but I don't think they were doing it as efficiently as they could have been. If you look at Derry and Dublin's kickouts, they were pushing up, but the organisation, the communication from the Derry players, they didn't lose a man really on any kickouts. And that takes, believe me, weeks, months of dry runs on the training pitch, and he's everyone switched on. So Dublin's approach is right. Derry's approach is right, but I just think Derry executed a bit better. And they got joy. McAvoy's goal comes from it. The penalty comes from it. They actually have another couple of chances. Lachlan Murray has a big goal chance. In hindsight, maybe could have just tapped it over at that stage of the game. But it was an area where Derry were really, really brave on. And I said this to you too yesterday. You look at every single time Derry get the ball around the middle third, their first instinct is to look in for a kick pass. Even if it's not on all the time, Conor Glass, Doherty, Port McGrogan, McAvoy himself, obviously he had a great running game, but they are looking inside, they're scanning out to in. And if you watch the Division 2 final beforehand, it was the exact opposite.
And Division 3.
Division 3. And look, that's the style those teams are playing, but it's they're going the opposite way. It's in to out. Armagh, Donegal yesterday, they look, the guy gets the ball in the middle turn and he's like, where's the safest place I can do this where we keep possession? And it's a 5-yard hand pass. Whereas Derry the exact opposite, Dublin the opposite, Kerry played this way as well. What's the furthest I can get this ball in to hurt the opposition? And we've seen it loads of times with kick passes, and it causes teams trouble, and it caused Dublin trouble yesterday. But it's a bravery in it, and you need to have the structure up there to do it. But you're right, Jimmy, that Shane McGuigan, he's got that support with Lachlan Murray, who was going to get better, definitely. Like, I think he had a very good game yesterday, but there's probably some elements where he's maybe inexperienced in terms of his decision-making, particularly later on in the game. But the mentality of Derry, you can see that when they get the ball, it's, how far can I get this ball inside? And that is a change. That is a big change from, if you remember, an All-Ireland semi-final against Galway 2 years ago, where they'd get turnovers and they'd slow everything down and wait to get structure up front. That was the first part of the jigsaw, but there has to be credit to Mickey Hart, credit to the players for taking this on board. They've shown that, the kick pass side of things, but also that aggressive running from deep. It's McAvoy yesterday gets the two goals. McCluskey's got three throughout the league. They've elements to their attack, which is the big thing Derry had to do to move on from, okay, Ulster champions and kind of outsiders for an All-Ireland where they've lost the last two semi-finals. Their performance yesterday, but the style of play that they're adopting, not just yesterday, but throughout the National League, we knew they were contenders before yesterday, but yesterday and the manner of how they played cements that they're a top team.
James, Owen McAvoy buries that first goal and running out, throws a little cheeky wink at one of his teammates. Brendan Rodgers and Fenton get into a bit of a scuffle. The lads start laughing afterwards. You see with McGuigan, a couple of little looks. The Derry boys play with a swagger, right? Swagger and a confidence and an energy. And there's something powerful behind what they're doing there. They really believe in what they're doing, don't they?
They do. There's like an aura of kind of self-belief behind them, which is so, but they've been successful, you know, even their rise up through the leagues, and they've been winning as they've been going on, and they've been checking things off. They've been beating all the top teams, more silverware now, like everything is just falling into place for them. But one thing they did, which almost caught the Dubs by surprise, which was strange, was everything was contested. How often would you see the Dubs, they're kind of passing the ball around and next thing a kick pass goes into the inside line and they're out five metres ahead of their man, they're dishing it up. None of that easy ball was going in. The boys were out, McCaig was out with Conn contesting everything all over the field. There was nothing just given to the Dubs.
Are you talking about that turnover on Kilkenny?
That's on the sideline point.
Yeah,
that was another example of it. It was just constant. They didn't let them settle. And the Dubs started making mistakes they never make, especially in front of goals. They were taking some bad shots. Their conversion was way down. I think they left maybe 6 or 7 points out there in the first half. They should have been well ahead, but they were taking pot shots. They were just unsettled. And I think that's a great sign for Derry that they were able to do that. And when you're in trouble against the Dubs, when they're so comfortable and confident and every decision is right, they'll just pick you off. But Derry made them uncomfortable from the start.
Okay, Paddy, I got you to press pause earlier on the context of yesterday. I mentioned it to you before throwing that 13 of Derry's starting team yesterday started their All-Ireland semi-final against Kerry. Just 7 of Dublin's team played their All-Ireland final against Kerry in July. So context being, Derry have now shown and proven to themselves and shown the country that they can mix it with the Dubs, and the Dubs are obviously in such good form, but it is probably a league version of the Dubs.
Yeah, but I think both teams are going to get... Every team that we've seen over the weekend is going to improve. No team is at their peak on the 31st of March. So we know we were kind of maybe overly critical of the Division 2 final. Both those teams will get better, but teams in terms of fitness, in terms of cohesion, lots of teams are missing bodies as well. So I think that's across the board. But look, from a Dublin perspective, I'm not overly concerned with them losing that game yesterday. They will get better. They've bodies to come back. But if you look in terms of context of the whole season, we were sitting here about 2 months ago. None of us had Dublin winning the National League. It was a surprise to see how well they were going. And I think Desi Farrell would be very happy with that. And the biggest thing is finding players. You look at Keane Murphy, Sean McMahon, Killian McGuinness is a live option in the half forward line. Theo Clancy came on yesterday. He's got 3 or 4 games as well. Ross McGarry, another couple of scores yesterday. I think he scored 2 or 3 points in every single game he's played. So for Desi, he's going to be very happy with that. And the fact that they were more than competitive in Division 1. Of course, losing that game, when you make the final, you want to win the fucking thing. And they will be disappointed. And you could see that. They were frustrated in the game. The needle in it. But would it be better longer term for Dublin if this kind of narrative around them, where they're not going to lose a match for the rest of the year, they're steamrolling everyone and they're the best thing that's ever happened to the GAA? I don't think that helps them going into the championship. You look at yesterday, it wasn't Fento's best game. He gets sent off. That's probably a reaction because he knows that there's frustration there. Kieran and Khan, who had been the two kind of main forwards throughout the league, had quiet days. Conor Doherty and Chrissy McCaig, brilliant battles. The reality is these teams are probably going to play each other again, and I think everyone would want to see that happen. So there's a little bit in the back pocket there for Dublin, and I think Desi Farrell alluded to it after the game as well. They're not where they need to be yet. They're probably ahead of a couple of weeks of where they plan to be on the 1st of April, but there's work to be done, no doubt about it. Their fitness levels, which they've never been that fit at this time of year anyway, but you could see that when Derry were pushing up on kickouts, it was brilliant organisation from Derry, and that's a credit to Mickey Hart for that setup. And I wouldn't necessarily blame Evan Comerford for Dublin losing kickouts at key moments. You could just see the movement. We were at the top of the Hogan Stand, you could see it. The Dublin movement was lethargic towards the end of the game. And it's a 90-minute game in the National League. Teams are not going to be at that level just yet. But I think there was noticeable that Dublin need to do work in that regard. And they'll have planned for that. So it's not panic stations by any means. I'd still have Dublin. Look, I'm maybe biased, but I still would have them as favourites for the thing. But what Derry have got yesterday is, like you mentioned there, James, they've ticked the box there. We've gone to Croke Park and we've taken this team out. Maybe not the strongest, but they still had a lot of the key players playing. And the confidence Mickey Hart and Derry get from that is massive. And you look at the course of the league, from day one down in Tralee, when they went down in Beccaria that night, they were gunning for this and they've got the rewards for it. So that's where I'm saying both sides will be, I think they'll be relatively happy where they're at the end of this campaign.
Speaking of Desi Farrell after the game, he said that there was a lot of bluster and outside noise about Dublin's form, given the fact that they were playing depleted sides or teams with nothing to play for. And he said he addressed that with the group during the week, not to get caught up in that. Would that, like, is that surprising, or is that a normal conversation that would be had at this time of the year?
Of course it is, because they're a serious team. Back-to-back Ulster champions, and they were top of the division going into this final. So, as we were here last week, talking about this guy, will Derry give Dublin a game? Like, fuck's sake, like, of course they will. Like, so it's just, and I don't think there was a complacency with Dublin yesterday. I just think they come up against a serious, serious team. And they very nearly got out of jail with it and won the game. But that's why I don't think he'll be overly concerned with... If I'm a player in that dressing room, like, say, we were with a similar experience back, whatever it was, in 17, this refocuses the mind, most certainly. Because it's nice when everyone says you're brilliant and they beat Tyrone by 100 points and all that stuff, and it's like, Dubs are going to steamroll this again. It's nice to get a bit of a check. It wouldn't have felt like that yesterday when Tom Lahiff hits the post with that penalty and Derry walk over and shake their hands. That's hard, but... like I say, that helps focus the mind. And I think long term, that could be a benefit to Dublin. We know they've players to come back, but not just those guys, the players that are out there. Yes, there's work to be done.
Would it have suited
it's the 1st of April.
Would it have suited the Kerry master plan, James, for the Dubs to steamroll the league final at the weekend and we all just keep talking them up?
No, I think that the whole country needed it. They needed that belief that Dubs can be beaten. I know that, and Desi's right, but I am surprised actually that he said that to the lads, because to leave that outside noise into the dressing room, or for it to be a thing around the camp,
it must have been so loud that they felt they had to address.
I know, but they are hammering teams. It's always going to be a bit like that. But like, I think that everyone now has seen a template of how to beat Dublin. Obviously, Dublin are going to get way better, but I think Derry can get way better as well. I think the other team will take confidence from
the template is there, but Derry have the tools to play that way. That is the key.
I know, but the main tool that they used was they showed a pair of balls. Like, they just pushed up and went for it and went at it.
Even physicality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
What about McAvoy? Like, the performance he put in.
Dublin play Meade or Longford in the first round of the Leinster Championship. Are you telling me that Colm O'Rourke or Paddy Creasy can turn around to their team and say, we're going to have a load of balls here, we're going to push up everywhere, and that they don't have the tools to execute that game plan? The
beauty of Derry are 15th in the country or whatever. I'm talking your top four or five.
The beauty of Derry is they have the player, and that's what Mickey Hart has got there. He's got players that can execute this. You're right. You need to, but we've said it fucking 2 years in this. To win the big, you have to be brave. You have to step up. You have to push up everywhere. You have to be aggressive. You can't stand off. You just said it, Jimmy. You can't let players have the ball for 5 or 10 minutes. But not every team, in fact, very few of them, have the capabilities to play that way. And what Derry showed yesterday, and not just yesterday, but over the last 2 months, is they have got the capabilities to play that way. And they know that. And the confidence they get going, the style of play Mickey Hart has implemented and added to what we already have, we know this will work. We've got to keep going after it. It's April. We've got to keep going. But if they execute that game plan as well as they possibly can, they've got a massive chance of doing it, winning this whole thing. But I would question how many teams have the mentality and the quality of players to play that way. There's very few.
But I think that Derry and Dublin are out on their own at the moment. Like, they're well ahead of everyone else. I think Kerry have the potential to get there on a good day at the moment, but they're not coming as freely as they were. But I think that Derry can improve on certain things, like, and small things that I think will make a massive difference come July. Even 45s. Like, Glass has taken 45s. He's kind of a 1 in 3. The top teams are scoring them 100 out of 100 nearly at come later in the championship. I think that's something that they can work on and improve. You know, all those little things. But the fact that they've actually gone toe-to-toe with Dublin will give them such belief. But can we touch on McAvoy? Because I think his performance was Rolls-Royce stuff. Like, just so good. As you said, so calm, clever, powerful. And he had a bit of finesse for his points. And the finishes for the goals were ridiculous. Especially the first one, the crossbar and down was outstanding, but he just looked so at home in Croke Park on a big day. Like, he's going to go from strength to strength. Like, those young fellas, the belief they'll get, the confidence that they can that they can go to Quebec and perform on a big day, like they will come on leaps and bounds. If you were a 6.5 out of 10 player going in, they'll come out of that an 8 out of 10 player. Do you know, they'll just have that belief.
Jimmy, we see it was an ad. Kind of, a lot of people maybe missed it because there's so much happening. Garrett McInnes comes on yesterday for 15 minutes, Tommy.
Hand injury.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a hand injury. Okay, so it was a running. Did he get a bang in the nose again because he had that coming in? But you had McInnes plays that way that McAvoy played yesterday. Remember his All-Ireland semi-final performance against Kerry last year. It was exceptional. It was all action. And that's, there's McInnes. You look what McAvoy did yesterday. Look at what McCluskey's done throughout the league. Probably quieter going forward, Jesse, but he was looking with his hands forward with Colin Baskell. That's like Mayo-esque from a couple of years ago with this rampage and halfbacks coming through. And if you're playing Derry now, and look, I think everyone's looking forward to what 3 weeks' time with Jim McGuinness and Donegal and the plan they have for Derry. You've got these halfbacks running from deep. That's now an issue. Not just if we're here 18 months ago going, well, if we keep McGuigan quiet, they're not going to get the scores. You know, that's a whole new dimension to our attack. And then your Lachlan Murray is... He is going to be a handful. There's a couple of... One area I would say is down that stretch, the last 10 minutes, they have a couple of opportunities and it's just bad decisions. But Rogers has a shot, which is very unlike on his left foot. The thing nearly ends up behind them. Kieran McFall drops one short from over on the Cusack stand side. Now, I know there was a breeze into that goal and Lachlan Murray has a chance where you're thinking...
But he has
just,
two.
Just tap them over.
Are you talking about the lead from the kick-off?
Yeah, well, he's two of them, and he kind of tries to force a goal, one which, okay, maybe. But where the game was at, they're in the league, that's a dagger to go 4 or 5 points up. But again, they learn from that. But with Lachlan Murray, just the way he plays, I think he's going to have a big chance.
I think he's going to be there. And if there's anywhere to get at them. At Dublin, it's that line of the field. I always say it, but like Dublin are still shaky there. Like that goal chance, right? That Lachlan Murray had from the kick out. He gets it kind of at 45, if my memory is kind of right, and he carries the ball nearly into the square. Nobody puts a hand on him, they just usher him right into the goal. He should have scored or else chipped it
over. I think there's a balance there as well. You don't want to commit either because they'd overlap. So you don't want to, the old Virgil van Dijk.
I know.
Try and commit here as well.
I know.
It's not great for, like, that wasn't the only goal chance there he had. You know, that's the worry for them.
And they got 2:15. There's massive scoring in that. But I think you have to hit the 20-point marker against Dublin. Otherwise, forget it.
In 14 minutes in the second half, Derry had 4 goal chances. They scored the penalty. Paul Cassidy had that little curler that just went wide at the far post. McAvoy buries his goal. Lachlan Murray goes wide at the near post and then he gets a shot saved from Evan Comfort. So 5 big chances there, yeah. There was one other point. Yeah, it was on the physicality and maybe some of the decisions, right? So,
But just on that, Tommy, that point, that was an issue. If you go back to the first night in the National League against Monaghan, Dublin, they lost the game. They conceded the big scores and Monaghan, it was because they were running direct at the heart of that defence. And Dublin, they were a lot more solid. They learned lessons from that even the following week when they went to Castlebar. But it is an area that Kerry are going to play that way against Dublin. I would say Mayo probably will still play that way. Derry have shown they'll play that way if they come across Donegal, have the potential for that really powerful running game. It's a hard thing to defend against. And that's, I would say from Dublin's perspective, kick-outs, improvement needed. Defensive structure on those transitions, definitely needed. And then, good old-fashioned, I'd say they're in for some tough training over the next 4 or 5 weeks. It would have been planned anyway, but
yeah,
definitely, I think...
But
there was a light shone on that yesterday.
Yeah, as much as Dublin's panel has improved and everything, and we always say this, I think, Paddy, you make this point quite a lot, your top fillers have to perform, and Fenton is at such a level... And he's so consistent that it's very rare that Dublin can't rely on him or he doesn't perform very well. And it just happens that Derry match up very well against every midfield because they're so strong there with Rogers and Glass. So I think that can be very interesting in the summer to see, will teams go after Fenton to try and stifle him a little bit more? Because if you give him any bit of freedom at a park or any bit of time, he runs the show and he just takes Dublin to a new level.
Yeah.
And Derry matched Dublin up very well against Dublin because they had McKagan Khan who did a great job. They had Doherty on Kilkenny who did a great job, and they had picked up Fenton for
Rogers. It was Rogers.
I know he kicked the point when he left Fenton on his arse, but like they match up so well with Dublin's big players.
Conor Doherty is a serious halfback marker. And he did a great battle with Kenny yesterday. He did an unbelievable battle with Sean O'Shea in last year's semi-final. He kind of dominates the first half of that. Sean O'Shea, to be fair to him, bounces back in the second half. But he probably doesn't get as much of a spotlight on him as McCaig and McCluskey. And that's natural because the full backline man markers, they're usually dealing with the cream of the crops, the Cliffords, the Cons and these guys. But Conor Doherty is a crucial player for them as well. And you're right, they've got a lot of tools, Derry. And we knew they had these. You don't win back-to-back Ulster titles without having a lot of serious positives going for you. But the question, what could Mickey Hart bring to this team? What was he going to improve on from what Rory Gallagher and later Kieran Mina did? And I think he's shown that in 3 months. We've seen that.
Yeah. And even their bench lads yesterday. So far, isn't it? Like, Niall Toner comes off the bench, kicks 2 points.
Couple of points, yeah.
Cormac Murphy sets up McAvoy for that second goal with a driving run. Emma Bradley comes off the bench. Declan Cassidy, Donoghue Gilmore, who got turned over by John Small for that very final kick out in normal time. We haven't even spoken about the drama and the malaise and all of that.
It was never a free either after that, I don't think.
It wasn't, no.
No,
but then the ref was delighted to get free and draw it.
On the other side, the penalty, a little bit outside the square, looked like Merchant's push. Yeah, look.
Yeah, there was a lot for Conor Lane. You'd need VAR.
With a game at that intensity, it was kind of stark watching, having watched the game just beforehand. We were saying it all through because we were looking forward to that game. That our man Donegal, the best two teams in Division 2, and they're in Croker, and they have a couple of weeks till they're playing Championship. This has got to be, I don't know, Tommy, we were saying 10 minutes in, we were like, this is just flat. This game is just, the crowd wasn't big, Jimmy, but the play was just, like the crowd were getting nothing to feed off either. Whereas the intensity from the word go in the Dublin Derry game, Conor Lane had his hands full. I think you're going to get, and there's a couple of questionable decisions on both sides. I've seen there was a lot of commentary on it, but
It's nearly an impossible job. I think in a game as frenetic and frantic as that, you know, like I think the Fenton red card was pulled back from the linesman who had a clear view of it.
I didn't think that was a red card.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't the red. But you can see why he got done.
Yeah, he gave him an opportunity to give it.
Gave him a decision to make. I've never seen Fenton react. Actually, when it happened, I turned to lads. I was like, I've never seen him do that. You know, he's usually so calm. That just proves how Derry flustered them and just made him so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, but when Kerry were going, we had a few close games with Dublin and they didn't target Fenton, but they knew how dangerous Fenton was. And Jack Barry was a good matchup for Kerry at the time. I think that Derry have that now with Rogers. I think that he's so key, Fenton, that if you can quieten him some way, it just gives you such a better chance because he's probably in the top three in the country, to be fair to him.
Yeah, well, if they don't get that red card overturned, he's going to miss their Leinster quarterfinal against Longford or Meath. So Desi's...
I don't think they should go down. I don't want to start seeing this appealing cards already. You know, I said it, I think everything... I just think that the reaction... We actually had a good chat last week. We were doing something with Charlotte Burns, the new president, and we were chatting about his kind of plans and his ideas for his tenure involved. And look, a big thing for the GAA, we've spoken about so many times in this pod, usually because you two lads are always getting fucking sent off in your club games, but the disciplinary process in games, you don't want to see teams just first reaction every single time there's a red card, is let's appeal this and let's get off. I don't think it was a red card. We're all looking at it. If he misses the first round of Leinster Championship, I don't think it's a big song and dance from Brun's perspective, but look, we'll see.
Okay. You'd have to say that Jarlett's speech as well, I thought.
Unbelievable.
It was goosebump stuff, wasn't it? I thought it was just bang on. It was so personable as well.
I was there for all four this weekend,
like
lads.
He
nailed it.
Lads, he's got to be, you'll see there's a bit of stuff coming out with him that we didn't GA go. So he's an impressive guy.
Look forward to that.
I'd say he's going to be good, yeah.
Yeah.
But even just, the way
he's modern, like, and I'm not saying Larry McCarthy's not, but it's just like he's big plans, Gerald Burns, and the speeches, I suppose, are kind of an early insight into his passion and what he's going to try and bring to this position. He's ambitious. Yeah. He's ambitious to make this better across the board. And I think there's going to be some very exciting stuff for him, to be fair to him.
Okay. That's Division 1, done and dusted. We're going to come back after the break, looking at Division 2, 3 and 4 finals and picking our Division 3 and 4 team of the year. Next, on Wednesday on the pod, we'll be looking ahead to the championship on our members' pod. The benefit of having two pods in 1 week. The championship starts in 4 or 5 days. So, yeah, it's all around the corner. You are listening to episode 20 of season 4 of the Football Pod. We're already there. It's brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Myself, James and Paddy will be back right after this. You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with James and Paddy. Lads, what was going on with Donegal and Armagh? Why did they wait until the last 10 minutes to give us a bit of something to get excited about? We're not going to spend too long in this game because I think it bored us. I think there was a lot of shadow boxing going on. Donegal are missing a clatter of players. Armagh's bench made a big difference. They're both out in Ulster action in the next couple of weeks. I think Jim McGuinness was more worried about getting out to watch Dublin and Derry than he was about that game itself.
Yeah, it was a very strange game. It was actually hard to watch. But we did kind of say that Donegal had that in the locker of chipping over their long range points, and just Armagh's block was too deep. And if you have good kickers like Thompson and these fellas that can kick over it, it just changes the whole plan of the opposition defence. And I thought, in fairness, they did a great job of that. But why it took an hour to get going, it was very disappointing. It took the benches to come on to actually just spark something, even a bit of madness, a couple of goal mouth scrambles and, you know, a bit of argy-bargy, but there was just nothing for the first hour. It was so just...
No fire
until, in fairness, the substitutes made a huge difference. Soupy Campbell, Rian O'Neill, you know, they came on and they actually injected a bit of pace and a bit of life into the game that was just, it was just unfortunately lacking for the rest of it.
I put it to McGeaney after the game, you know, why didn't we see the style that you've come back to this year, kicking the ball a bit more? And he said,
"Did you say
he
that?"
He thinks pundits should have a closer look at Armagh because
I am looking at them.
They haven't changed their style in the last 4 or 5 years.
I am looking at them. I'm not having that.
He just means they haven't actually told them to change, but naturally the progression has been away from that kicking game. Well, like
in fairness, I think this league campaign, they've gone back to the kicking. Like, I've seen
it. Kildare is an example, which we all watched that game, and it was very impressive. They racked up big scores. I think you look at... The first thing on the yesterday, both teams mirrored each other. They were playing the same style. That they were both pushing up on kickouts, to be fair, both of them. But if they lost possession, they'd retreat straight away and get loads of bodies back. And that's fine. That's no issue with that. Nearly all teams adopt that type of approach when they lose possession. The trick to beating that is that if you win a long kickout or if you turn a team over, is to transition really fast, i.e., not carrying the ball, not hand passing to your mate who's 2 yards beside you. It's that bit I was talking about with Derry. Scan out to him. What's the furthest we can get this ball to someone on our team? And this is the unbelievable thing with Armagh. They're three best forwards, and Oisin Connolly's come in this year, who's a different make of a forward, has been very good. But Turbitt, Murnin, and Rian O'Neill, when he plays, I would say one of their main attributes for all three of those guys is ball winning.
They are
big, strong, physical. Grogan's maybe slightly different as well, but he can win his own ball, obviously. But they're made for kick passes. Like, why wouldn't you? And the contrast, and we were looking at it, Tommy, yesterday, we said it 2 or 3 times from when the Division 1 final, when Derry get the ball, look at the players. Look at the players who are in possession. The first reaction is, I've got possession, I ain't losing it. And it's, I'll turn and give it there, and that's fine. I'll keep possession. It's conservative, but okay. But by the time you do two or three of those passes, Donegal have 12 lads behind, or Donegal had 14 players run off. Oisin Gallan had license to stay up the pitch. And Armagh were doing the same on their side. And Donegal did this as well. But you're right, Jimmy. You have Thompson. Langan was actually quieter, but we know he has that in his locker. And Niall O'Donnell, who could kick long range points. But the frustrating thing with Armagh, and I know, look, McGinney's not going to say anything else. It's like, I didn't see yesterday an opportunity for them to go on, you know, coming to Croke Park. It was a very similar performance that we've seen in last year's quarterfinal against Monaghan, where it's like, I expect them to win the game. I know McGinney spoke to you, Tommy, after a couple of things in the camp and stuff like that, but fair enough. And we said this, they'll get better, Donegal will get better. But it was just, I didn't see a change in mentality or style from them yesterday that I was hoping to kind of see from them. But again, the two of them, McGuinness and McGinney, can turn around and say, our remit at the start of the spring was promotion to Division 1. And they've both cantered to that. But if you're looking from Armagh's perspective for the next couple of months, and what are they going to do in this championship? I don't know. It just feels like it's frustrating again. You're on mute, Tommy.
He did say Campbell had that bug that was going around during the week, so he couldn't start. He came on and made a difference. And he said, Rian O'Neill kind of getting back to his best. Oisin O'Neill come off the bench, kicked the point. Maybe when the round robin series comes around, or they're on the slightly kinder side of the Ulster draw. Maybe, just maybe. Or are we just sick of saying that?
We know the players. That's, it's not like the personnel are the problem here. It's just, we're not seeing a style of play that supplements what those are, compliments what those forwards are good at. And it's like, they've got good players. Of course they have. But it's just, I didn't see anything new or I'm going, okay, I can see Armagh, that style causing serious issues for the top teams in the summer. I didn't see it yesterday. Maybe we'll see it in the championship. I'm not certain.
Yeah, there was a WhatsApp doing the rounds, James, yesterday of the Donegal boys that were missing. Owen Bon Gallagher, Brendan McCall, Caelan Ward, who could also play in the full back line, Paddy McBurty, Jamie Brennan, Ryan McHugh, Darrell Wheel, Conor O'Donnell. Fair clatter of footballers there that would probably start or make an impact on your championship team.
They are going to be dangerous. And we can't underestimate or overstate how important McGuinness is going to be for these fellas as well. Because I think that he has a way of playing against the, I would say, in the north, right, against your Armaghs and these teams. I think he'll play a certain way. He'll have something in the locker for the Kerrys and the Dublins as well. I think that they're going to have a say in this championship. There's something about them. You don't want to face them. They have, and we always say they have a good team on paper, but I think they have more than that now. I think they're going to have a direction. They're going to have a purpose for every game. And there's just going to be something, a surprise with them, a tactic come Croke Park. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that dressing room at the moment, because I think that getting over the line the last day wasn't obviously the main priority, but a little bit of confidence again in their direction. And I think there'll be a surprise there for later in the year.
Yeah, great. It's a big plus for them again, Jimmy, isn't it? Like, to go and win that game, like, it mightn't have been front and centre, you know, when they met back in November, December, but they would have wanted the promotion and they sealed that comfortably. But to win, to go up to Croke Park and win a game there without missing, like, you've listed, nearly all of those probably will start, Tommy. Five or six of them. You know, Bon Gallagher, McHugh are critical to how this style of play, where it's... Yeah. McCall's more of a man marker, but McHugh and Bon Gallagher would be critical in those transitions, which is a key aspect. Attacking at speed, bodies coming from everywhere. Patrick Morgan as well. Those three guys are crucial to that style of play. Oisin Gallan had some really good moments yesterday, a little bit erratic at other times, but you throw Paddy McBurty in there beside him as well. And Niall O'Donnell, who's been kind of in and out with injuries. They've got guys that can score as well. You're right. Like, I tell you, no team is going to fancy playing Donegal. Whether they can, of all the draws in Ulster, this is why it's such a fascinating game in 3 weeks' time. Derry's the hardest one they could have got. Are they there yet? Where there's lots of amazing stuff and the progress they've made. If you remember this time last year, lads, they were going the way of the dodo. They were gone. It was diabolical everywhere you looked. They're back at Division 1 and we're talking about them genuinely with a chance of taking out Derry in the Ulster Championship. I think it's a bit soon for that, but if you're in that Donegal camp, like talk, McGuinness is like a, he's a cult figure there. From these players are, he asks them the job, they say how high, and that's the personality and the charisma he has. And it's a fascinating storyline to watch coming into the championship. If you're saying, we're talking about Desi Farrell and Mickey Hart and what they're thinking after the league, if you're Jim McGuinness, you're thinking that is, that couldn't have gone much better. And particularly to that, even that bit of resilience to win the title at Croke Park, missing half our team basically. That's just more medicine for them as well. So it's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be talking a bit more about Donegal and Armagh across the month of April when their provincial campaigns kick into gear. On Saturday night, we had the Division 3 and 4 finals. Leash, you mentioned a kick passing team. Leash absolutely utilised the kick pass in their defeat of Leitrim. They pulled away from them with 25 minutes to go. Nevin O'Donnell and Barry McNulty scored two brilliant points. Nevin O'Donnell, Cavan originally, transferred over to Leitrim, a full forward at club level in Cavan and underage with Cavan. He showed why, the goalkeeper scoring a beautiful point at the outside of his left boot from underneath the Cusick stand. That made it a 2-point game, but Leash responded with 1-1 in a minute, overturning a kick out from him. And it was just game over then. I don't know whose Instagram that was that that flared up there.
Good evening.
But Leash won't be playing for another 2 weeks. Leitrim are out against Sligo on Sunday in their Connacht quarterfinal. And they'll be
this Sunday. Is that this Sunday?
This Sunday, yeah. And then in the Division 3 final, Westmeath really thwarted that downside. And they set up really well defensively. They caused them a lot of bother. And they won by 2-10-13. And Westmeath will be playing their fourth game in 5 weeks on Sunday against Wicklow.
That is so harsh on them. Do you know, isn't it? They can't even go and enjoy their winning crop.
I'd say they enjoyed it. No, do you think they would have had a few? No,
no, I doubt it. A championship match.
8 days later, maybe.
Yeah, a couple of beers. They'd be big, the rugby boys big, in the middle of World Cup.
There's no such thing as a couple of beers. It's a couple of days.
Mr. Ben's drinking.
But surely you've been there before, James, when you've been told not to go for a few beers. Surely the lads would have gone for a few.
I don't think so. Maybe so. I think if you're a championship game the following week, I don't think you'd want to risk it. Do you know, you want to prepare as well as you can. That would be my thinking. You know, they could have gone out in the quiet for a couple of handy pints, but...
Or maybe as a group, they had one or two.
As a group, they want to go out.
They'd be fancying that side of the Leinster Championship draw as well.
Oh, they will, yeah. And they did it. And you mentioned Donegal and the players they were missing. They did it without their full-back, Kevin Maguire, their centre-back, Ronan Wallace, and their full-forward, John Heslin, which was really the spine of that Tailteann Cup winning team 2 years ago. So, really impressive manner in which they did that to Down. Down would have fancied themselves going into that game. It would have been part of the plan for Down to get that step closer to securing Sam Maguire football for next year. Now they're up against it. Down are up against Antrim in their quarterfinal.
The biggest things to take from it, the first quarter that Down were on top, it was a really powerful running game. They've got lots of pace, organised defensively. And to be fair, that's the job Laverty's done. He's really instilled that. But to be credited, Desi Dole and Westmeath, they were probably struggling themselves against Down's defence. It took them a while to settle in. They obviously, they get the goal. Again, Jimmy, your favourite, ball drop short, gets a goal. And at the right time as well, because Down were probably on top at that point.
They were.
The second half, Jonathan Lyon gets a second goal again at a pivotal time. But the second half, I thought Westmeath were really impressive in terms of their organisation defensively, and just frustrating that Down attack. They know, block the centre channel, Down are going to get loads of runners, they're the top goal scorers in the divisions, stop that, that's an issue for Conor Laverty, because teams are going to look at that and go, if we do this to Down, where are they going to get their scores from? And they really, really struggle with that. Whereas Westmeath on the other side, their intensity in defence, but then breaking out as well. Sam McCartan, obviously, had an outstanding game for him. There's loads of positives for Desi Dolan, but he'd be very happy with the style in which they've won that game. Again, both of those teams, we tipped them at the start that they should be getting promoted into Division 2. The job is done, but looking ahead to the Championship, Conor Laverty to be worried about, okay, how do we add another string to our bow in terms of an attack that we can kind of hurt teams a bit easier than just running the ball at them, because that's probably easier to stop. But for Desi Dolan, positive with the defensive setup and confident. That's another Tata Cup in Croke Park a couple of years ago, another trophy in Croke Park on Saturday night. Like I say, they're on a better side of the draw. If they get over Wicklow, which you fancy them to, they play Kildare. And that will be an interesting game. And what we've seen so far this season, you'll probably be leaning towards Westmeath and that.
But Down we'll were see. So good at certain stuff. That hard running game, the direct style.
Yeah.
They're clearly chasing goals, but Westmeath's low block kind of just stopped that and a couple of fouls.
That's what you need.
They're missing the kickers. They're missing a Marty Clark at centre forward, something like that.
I think a lot of teams would love to have Marty Clark at centre forward now, but what does Conor Lovely do? What does he do from there then? In the next couple of weeks before they get into the Ulster Championship?
Very quick turnaround. You know, I don't think they're going to be changing much about their style.
They need to go kicking at the post. I know that style of play and everything and overlaps and runners, like you need an individual as well to kind of take the responsibility and have a couple of shots and want to get into the right places. You know, don't seem like a very coached team where they kind of create scores for each other. But sometimes you need maybe just that
the X factor.
Yeah, the fella who creates a bit of space himself and throws one over, and that just makes the opposition defence think about something different. At the moment, they're a bit too systematic, I think.
Well, Laverty said afterwards, speaking of afterwards, that was what he was disappointed with. He was disappointed that the lads were too cautious in attack. That they weren't taking shots from outside of the definite shooting zone. That, yes. Like he wanted them to take more shots, especially when Westmeath set up so deep. So that's maybe something that they could work on over the next couple of weeks.
But that's why those big days are key. Like even just to have that experience and learn from it. Because Westmeath went to Croke Park, won the Telton, you know, and took all these lessons from it. And knew they could deliver on a big day up there in a final. And then they were able to again.
That second half just looked exactly like that. That Westmeath had a plan. We know what to expect from Down's attack. And this is how we're going to thwart that. And it just played out like to a T like that. Mm. And they turned them over and they break a pace. Like I said, McCartan, Ray Canella was top class at midfield as well. Ron O'Toole probably had a quieter game by his standards, but he was still influential. And it just was like, Westmeath were going, this is going to happen. This is how we're going to prepare for it. And they executed it. So they'll take confidence from that. And you're right. For Down, there's lessons to be learned from that. And I'm sure Conor Lafferty will try and implement that over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So we brought you our Division 1 and 2 combined team of the year. It's obviously taken as a whole across the entire league campaign. A couple of ideas from ourselves, a couple of listener suggestions, pieced together. Of course, there's a lot of footage missing, a lot of games you don't get to see. So we've pieced together Division 3 and 4 team. Lads, thanks for your help at the weekend putting this one together. We're sticking our three names
on. No worries, Tay. No worries.
James, our goalkeeper. So a lot of the players here were contenders for promotion or in the mix for promotion or in the teams that are in the league final. So, James, your favourite goalkeeper in the entire country, Killian Roach, gets the nod.
He's got it for an All-Star. He had it for an All-Star.
Definitely. Yeah. A great league. Outstanding performances.
He did.
He actually struggled against Leitrim in the round 6 game, but was much better at the end of the weekend. And we saw him come forward a bit on Saturday evening. Our full back line, we've got Caelum Doherty from Down, who lined up with number 4 on his back, but has played much higher up the field and attacks much like the Donegal and Derry defenders. He's brilliant across the league campaign. Donal Casey from Leitrim has had an exceptional campaign as they secure promotion against the odds in many ways, but not against the odds in Paddy Andrews' eyes. He picked them from day one.
Thank you.
And a Clare defender, a cornerback. Clare with a huge turnover. Very close to getting promotion. Went right down to the last day against Down. Manus Doherty gets the nod in the corner. The half-back line. Glenn Malone from Wexford. One of the top scorers from play in Division 4. Drove Wexford all the way. Very close to promotion. Had a huge role to play. Real physical player back there. He's gone centre-back. Plays wing-back quite a lot. Jimmy Dolan. James Dolan from Westmeath. The man with the flying Superman blocks. Has a habit of making them.
So, man, I've been playing against them many times. Still key for them. Yeah.
Yeah, real leader for Westmeath. He takes the number 5 position. And number 7, a fella who probably, you know, has shown on the big days for Westmeath before, had a quietish up and down league campaign, has been absolutely brilliant down the crunch and in the final. Sam McCartan, just a classy footballer.
The two scores he got from play were and like Westmead were struggling for scores, and I was thinking, I have to say, both shots, I was like, I don't know about that. And they were sailed over, to be fair to him. He gets man of the match, he had a couple of long range frees as well. So fair enough, I would say, to put him in. Pure, even on his Saturday night's performance alone, he was exceptional.
Yeah, yeah, unbelievable. Oran Murdoch and Darren Gallagher are the two midfielders. Gallagher was probably Longford's best footballer in Division 4. They'll be disappointed that they didn't make it up this year. He hit 123 across the league. He's kicking their frees, their penalties, their 45s, but he's also their playmaker back there. And Oran Murdoch from Down, a prodigious talent that they've held on to. Very important to them getting promoted. He kicked 4-8, including three penalties. But playing a lot of football in full forward as well. A target man in there when he's in there. So he is the second Down man that's been chosen. Onto the half forwards. We've got Liam Kerr from Down. Electric pace. Very talented. Ryan O'Rourke from Leitrim. James, I don't know if you saw the points he got on Saturday afternoon, but a couple of classy scores.
I did.
And Alan McLaughlin from Sligo. So Alan McLaughlin is about 25 or 6. It's actually his first inter-county campaign with Sligo. But he's one of their top scorers from play. Kicked 5 against Westmead. Kicked 1-1 in their first league win of the year. A bit of a playmaker from half forward, and has really impressed from wing forward. So up front, Evan O'Carroll from Laois takes the number 14 jersey. Yeah. Captain this year. Led Justin McNulty's side to Division 4 title. He's in really good shape. Paddy, you'd have come up against Laois quite a bit with the Dubs. O'Carroll, Kingston's, they were always dangerous.
Yeah, they're always a good players. But like, there was obviously, we touched on Laois more so last year, that you feel like Laois shouldn't be a Division 4 team with the kind of the pedigree they have. The under-8 success has cooled a bit. They were a fucking nemesis for Dublin a few years back with their under-8 teams. But to be fair, that's credit to Justin McNulty. Like I said, we tipped them to get out of Division 4. They just need to get their house in order and get kind of feel-good factor back in Laois football and a bit of confidence. And that's what they've got. It's been a good campaign for them to get up. Really accomplished performance against Leitrim. They'll take confidence from that into the championship. It's hard to know, you know, realistically you're looking at, could they do something? Maybe Talton Cup, but they're not at the level of Sam Maguire yet, but for Justin McNulty, what he's achieved so far from this year, it's been positive. And I'd say they'll be definitely leaning towards trying to eye up a Talton Cup run and potentially win that as well, but they'll be happy so far. 2024 definitely.
O'Carroll looks a serious operator though. I thought he looked so dangerous the last night. Size, power, strength, but then an eye for a goal. Like didn't fancy chipping points or anything. He went at his man. He went for the jugular. And if you have a full forward like that, he's like a bit like Conor Allen. It's like, you know, you don't know if he's gonna chip a handy point or if he's gonna go for the goal. I think it just makes your team so much more dangerous. I was very impressed with him the weekend.
Yeah, really impressive. Alongside him, we've got two other players who played in the Division 4 final. Mark Barry from Laois, one of their top scorers from play this year. He was electric in a lot of their games. Settled into that league final quite late, but had a really good performance then. He hit 214 from play across the league. And Ryan O'Rourke, who we mentioned earlier, hit 417 from play for Leitrim. And then in the corner, Dara Rooney, top scorer in Division 4, had a quiet league final, 40 points, playing his club football with St. Jude's in Dublin. So he went a long way towards Leitrim securing their place back in Division 3. Some of the honourable mentions from our Instagram stories that we put up last week. Stephen Ryan from Clare should be the number one. Another Clare man in goals, and Killian Roach was playing with Laois. But Stephen Ryan obviously had a great league campaign for Clare and probably one of the best goalkeepers in those two divisions. Sligo cornerback Eddie McGuinness got a couple of nods. In Offaly, Cormac Geegan has been playing at full wing back this year, and Dylan Hyland in the corner has been getting a couple of suggestions as well. And from Carlo, Colin Hulton got a shout, and from Wexford, Paul Hughes, quality wing forward, got a couple of votes as well. So lads, that is the league wrapped up, all done and dusted. It's the 1st of April. We're going to be back on Wednesday with our members pod. One thing we might be talking about is the fact that Rory Beggan was home and in a training camp with Monaghan ahead of their game against Cavan this weekend. Reported by Neil Loughran in the Irish News this afternoon.
I thought he's a slam dunk, is he not? No.
He could be.
Young downfield. Was it Charlie Smith? So the New Orleans Saints. Unbelievable. Saints. Savage. Yeah. Sure, Beckham didn't miss. I wouldn't top Beckham.
The age, maybe.
We don't know. It wouldn't be the age, I don't think. We wouldn't be the age, but maybe there's a bit of a wait between what's going to happen. But Vinnie Corey has said it's...
It'd be sicking for him if he doesn't get there, no. After it, what did he, 10 out of 10 in the last one?
Yeah, I'm sure he's still in the mix. I think he was home anyways in Ireland, and he attended a Monaghan training camp as he prepared for Sundays.
Would you have him in round on Sunday in the championship?
If he's available, Matt. If he's available.
Goalkeeper, maybe.
But he does more than that. Like, he's kicking frees. He's actually playing sweeper keeper. He does more than the average goalie. I play him right, fuck it.
Yeah, Vinnie Corey was speaking at the Ulster launch the week before, and he said that Beggan's availability for the championship very much up in the air, something that's changing all the time. There was talk that he was flying home 3 weeks ago. That changed. So we'll see. All right. Paddy, James, enjoyed it. We'll be catching up again later in the week. The preview this weekend's provincial championships, which are kicking off. It's starting on Saturday in London, where Galway are taking on London. And then on Sunday, we'll have Leitrim, Sligo and Connacht. We'll have New York and Mayo later that night at 8 o'clock in New York. In Munster, we'll have a Munster quarterfinal with Cork and Limerick. We'll have Waterford Tip. We'll have Monaghan Cavan in the preliminary round quarterfinal in Ulster. And we'll have a couple of...
It's a big game. That's a big game.
Round one games as well. Wexford Carlow, Westmeath Wicklow and Longford Meath. Lads, great weekend in the sense that Dublin Derry made it. But for Laois, for Westmeath... And for Donegal, they'll all be delighted as well. But enjoyed it. That's the league done and dusted. Fair play to you.
Well done, thanks, boys. Roll on the championship.
Roll on the championship. A lot of work done. A lot more to do. Talk to you soon.